morning, ladies. Thank you for the opportunity in sharing my testimony. And I've been a Christian now well over 40-odd years now. And you young girls just setting out in your careers and everything, I just want to just encourage you just to keep near to the Lord, because he just gets better. And I think any one of us that's been you know, on this journey and been a Christian for a lot of years, he just becomes more real. There's so much more to experience about him. And our lives, you girls, yes, I believe in everything that the word says about sharing a word in season, but our lives have got to radiate Jesus. And this is what I've been very much challenged in the last year. So not to take too much time. I'm very nervous. I don't usually like to stand at the front or say anything up the front. But I think we have to always remember that our lives are not our own, and we always have to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think no matter how nervous we are or whatever is happening in our lives, we must glorify the Lord. And I hopefully I'll do that as I share my story. So as I said earlier, I've been a Christian well over 40-odd years. And it's been an amazing journey. But I just want to really focus just on this year, this previous last year. Because in the 40-odd years, I would have never realised that one year would have been so difficult. And yet, on the other hand, so difficult. But then what an incredible journey and an experience with the Lord. So I'll just sort of finish off. The girls that know me, or the ladies that know me and my husband worked in a Christian charity for a lot of years, 14, 15 years. And when that chapter closed, we're sort of like, we're thinking to ourselves, where does this take us now, Lord? But one thing that is incredible, the Lord Jesus Christ is already in our future. So we've nothing to fear. We've just got to do that daily, getting up every morning, committing our lives to him, and he guides us. And I must say, within less than this year, it just happened this year, we now have a coffee shop out in Easingwell. We live out towards York now, and the Lord miraculously provided everything we needed for that coffee shop. And our hearts is really evangelism. I don't like standing up at the front, but you asked me to go out onto the streets and go and share the Lord Jesus with anybody just passing there, I wouldn't have an issue about it whatsoever. But our hearts has always been evangelism. So we discussed as husband and wife, and then as partners in the business, which was always going to be a little bit of a trial, where we're going to go with this coffee shop. Because, yes, wanted it to honour the Lord. And even as these girls have said, how you live your life within your career shows the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought, Lord, even to honour you, the best value you can get in a cup of coffee, the best quality, the best surroundings to sit in, the best welcome that people get in. We have a small little bookshop, which is really not a bookshop at all. We've got the local community we really wanted to connect with, and they bring lots of little wares to sell and little crafts that they've made. And we give them a little pigeonhole slot in this bookshop. And they then raise money for their little charities within the community. But also, me and my husband are part of the Business Forum, which is a business community in Easingwold. And we decided that to honour the Lord, we would become a social enterprise. And that social enterprise would mean that you have to give over 51% to be registered. But we thought, right, Lord, we'll honour you. We'll give 55% of our profits. So after the first year, 55% of our profits would go back into all the community charities. Some are Christians, some are not. But then the thing is, we need to show the Lord. So it's not all just supporting Christian charities. We need to support other charities that are supposed to be doing an amazing, that are doing an amazing work in the communities. So we found that that was something that would set us apart, that people would ask us about our lifestyle and why we decided we're not going to keep all the profits. But that is glory to the Lord. That is his honour. So we said, Lord, whatever you give us, this is what we're going to do. And anyway, 45% we get to keep anyway. So that's amazing. So we become a social enterprise coffee shop, and we just sort of opened up one morning, just had to shove everything in the cupboards, open the doors. We weren't ready. The paint was still drying. And I must admit, it's been an incredible year, and God has amazingly blessed the work. The thing is, I said our hearts are very evangelistic, and so we've had four different events during the year Christmas, Easter, just gone in August, and then we'll have Christmas again. And we see that as a little outreach event into the community. We've had coffee cake and carols at Christmas, thinking, please, Lord, bring at least 10 in. It's like pouring it down with rain, and it's Thursday before Christmas. They're not going to turn up, I bet, if it's raining. And you know, we're packed out. There were 55 people turned up, sat on the window ledges, and we sang the whole of the Bethlehem Carol sheet. We thought we'll sing about one or two, but they wanted to sing it all. Then my husband said at 9 o'clock, right, I'm shutting shop. He says, it's 9 o'clock, you can go home. I've been here since 7 this morning. So, but, and then there was an opportunity our minister gave just a lovely 5-minute gospel spot. Easter is a wonderful time of year. We were able to share that with children and the Easter eggs and things like that. And what's wonderful is because it's our business, nobody can tell us how much we can talk about Jesus. So if I want to stand there for half an hour talking about Jesus to a customer, I can, because this is the platform that the Lord Jesus has given to us. And then my husband said, what about the August one? What kind of outreach event can we do for that? He says, there's not Christmas, there's not Easter, what can we do? And it just twigged. I said, I don't mean the American. What about thankfulness and Thanksgiving? Not the November one where it's all the American Thanksgiving. But first of all, to be thankful to God. God provides everything we need. We have no fear of anything. Any one of us shouldn't. If we look at God's word of him providing everything that we need every day, it's already in our futures, already in our tomorrows. And he provided everything that we needed. A lovely home, a lucrative business, favour in the community and with the council. And I said, it has to be a Thanksgiving thing. So we got beautiful little tracks from Roger Carswell and did some beautiful tracks on the tables that saying, thank you for your help. But inside it said, but most of all, we thank God for Jesus. And we were able to give these things out, and we gave away free things, because God is so good to us. He's such a generous God. There's no stinginess about our God. So we thought, right, we'll give out loads of things over that weekend, and it was a way that we could share and say thank you to our customers. But then we also acknowledged every morning that we're thankful to God. So this is our year, and so busy, 5 coats of emulsion paints on the wall, and busy planning, thinking that, Lord, we really don't need to give up this coffee shop. We can run it till either you call us home or you come again, because it can go on to a 17, 18 year old and just pay for younger people to run it for us. But it's got, the main thing is we've got that platform for evangelism. So what an amazing year. I forgot to give God the glory for every little part of it. And there is a scripture that I read every day, and it just, you'll see why as my testimony unfolds a bit further on, that I've been trying to live so much scripture, because when our prayers fail and we don't know what else to say, there's a scripture that covers every area that we're in within our lives. And one scripture I just want to read right now is Psalm 34 verse 1, and it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord, and let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness, and let us exalt his name together. And I always read that scripture every morning to myself, no matter who I'm talking to in the coffee shop or who I meet in my daily life. So just as we were signing over the lease to take on the property of the shop, just over a year ago now, I had a very tickly cough, and it was very silly cough. It didn't go away. And then a really close friend, dear friend, says, you're hacking away with that cough care. Haven't you been to doctors yet? I said, oh, no, I'll just get another bottle of cough medicine. So anyway, I went to the doctors, and to sort of cut the story short a little bit, I went to the doctors, were sent to the hospital that day. They just said, oh, just go, that's a form, just go straight to the hospital and get a chest X-ray. So I went to the hospital and that day, and then the doctor, Virtue, rang me back the next morning, and he said, the cough care, actually, it seems like it's a more serious problem. You've got a lump in your lung, and we actually need to be able to do a biopsy, because we want to see sort of at what stage it's at and things like that. So this was just over a year ago. So I went to the hospital virtually the next week and had a biopsy done. And they found out it was cancer, that I had lung cancer. And then from the biopsy, they found that I had a defective gene, that it wasn't just the lung cancer, so I wouldn't be able to have any surgery. And this gene wasn't hereditary. It was nothing to do with a biological thing inherited from my family. In our amazing gene pool that we've got in our lives, I had one particular gene, and this is what the consultant said, it's decided to misbehave. And it's this particular gene, they even know exactly what the number is of this gene, which is incredible. But this biopsy showed that it was a genetic cancer. So I had the lung cancer that I couldn't have surgery on. I had the gene, which they haven't got the treatment to cure it. They will be able to manage this. He said, hopefully, they'll manage the situation, but they wouldn't be able to offer me a medication that would cure. And then they said, but we'd like you to go for further tests and just have MRI. So I went to the hospital in Leeds, and then they found I'd got 16 individual cells on my brain. So there were the three areas. I'd got the lung, I'd got this gene, which they couldn't give any sort of curable medication for, no surgery, and then the cancer cells on the brain. So I just said to the Lord, Lord, I need my energy. In the end, I just said to the Lord, Lord, I need my energy. But I just want to point out another scripture. When I sat in that consultant's room again, when you know the Lord, straight away within my spirit came bubbling up that perfect love casts out fear. When we really love the Lord, there's nothing in this life, nothing in this life that can take away our joy or our peace, because he is that joy and peace. So in the consultant's room, I'm sat there and I'm muttering under my breath, and then it just overwhelming, amazingly, I felt the Lord's amazing peace and his joy. And heard all these, this diagnosis, and they said, but we'll manage it the best way we can. We won't be able to offer you a surgery, we won't be able to offer you a cure, but we will manage the best way that we can. So that was well over a year ago. So I left that with the Lord, and I thought, Lord, I need to help my husband. We've just set on this project. I've so many people to tell about you, and I haven't got the energy after bed rest every afternoon. So if you see me nip off at lunchtime, I have to go for bed rest. But I felt, as I spent time with the Lord and the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit, I was... One minister one time said to me, are you just going to share, Kay, just about how God has brought you so far, just even in this year, a few months ago? And I said, oh, no, sorry, I don't get up, I don't stand up the front or anything, no, it's not me. And then I was so challenged in my spirit that this isn't about you, Kay, this is about me, this is giving me glory. This is all the diagnosis, and I have every utmost respect for my consultants and the medical teams. I'm having an amazing treatment. But I was able to share with him. Then the next time I went, I was able to be offered gamma knife surgery, which was incredible. And on the brain, he actually zapped all the 16 cells. And I had four MRI scans since then, and there's been no regrowth on the brain at all. So that's a real honour to the Lord. So what I said to the Lord, Lord, let me be able to take you. We often find ourselves on a journey. Well, I call it a route, because I don't see this as my real journey that I should be on. I think, oh, Lord, I would have never thought of cancer, you know, and coping with all these difficult things, trying to get this business going and the energy that it needs and to help my husband, and he doesn't get all the pressure. And I just thought, but Lord, you chose this route, whether it's I feel it's a diversion or whatever. You don't, because you organise my steps, my very steps. I might make the plans, but you organise my steps. And so I said, Lord, help me to rise above whatever I've got to rise above, and make sure, Lord, that you have all the glory and the honour of my life. So I go and sit with the consultants, and they've, of course, in a year now, they know me very well. So he said, but, you know, maybe I've got some more treatment to share with you, Kay, after the chemotherapy. The gamma knife surgery was a great success, and then I was put on long-term chemotherapy. So I go to the hospital, and the disappointment came where I'm talking to people, and they say, oh, I've got 5 months and I've finished, another 4 months and I've finished. And I look and don't say anything, But I have to look to the Lord again, because the inside has to rise within me and say, Lord, you give me the joy, you give me the peace. It's going to be long term. Unless there's a new treatment that they can offer, I'm on long term chemotherapy. But what a glory and honour to the Lord Jesus Christ. 11 months later, I'm working 4 days in the shop. I have my rest on the afternoon. I have chemotherapy every day. And 11 months on, and I should have up to 20 side effects, and I'm coping with 4. So how incredible is that? Jesus has got a work for me to do, and to show that no matter what life throws at us, he is everything that we need. So even just sharing, I've been able to share incredibly with the nurses and even the consultants, because they said, you know, we can do all we can, Kate, and then the cancer will probably find its way around different treatments and everything. And I said, well, I understand what you're trying to say, doctor. I said, but we don't have the last say, do we? So he just went, no, and he smiled. He says, I know what you mean. So I said, well, things are sometimes out of our hands. And I said, and I've got amazing treatment and respectfully your care that you're giving me, but sometimes things are out of our hands. Then the other week I was sad and took a bit further, and I said, but do you know what, doctor, I can believe for a miracle. They do happen. In the medical profession, you look at things, you think, how on earth is that happen? Oh, it's just a miracle. And you can use it ad lib. And I said, but you know what, I can believe for a miracle. So that's another scripture that I want to read on. This is a scripture that I turn to straight away when I wake up in the morning, and it's Lamentations 3:22-24, and it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends, his mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness, his mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. And just before I close, ladies, the hope that we have, and this is what I felt in my spirit that I really felt I need to share with you. You might not be facing in your life these sort of massive mountains, and quite recently people, as they see me, say, how's things going? And I'm using what I call the MM phrase. I used to say I was being sustained. Now I call it MM. I'm being miraculously maintained. Because to be having chemotherapy 11 months and working 4 days a week and doing my own shopping, cleaning, cooking and whatever, that is miraculously maintained as far as I'm concerned. But we've all got in our lives, we all have massive mountains. And the thing is, you see, yours might not be sickness. Yours could be that you've really prayed for your children to come to know the Lord over many years, and they still are not come to know the Lord. You've been praying for a spouse. You've been praying for real. You know, people don't always touch that fringe of the mental illness, and maybe it's a struggle that you have to cope with every day. And you know what? There's only really Jesus that can get close enough to really help you. We have loads of help from council, which is fantastic, and medical help. But there's only Jesus can get really where it's at. And so whatever your mountains are, just take this hope this morning that he is enough. He is enough to see us. I don't know what the future looks like. I'm being miraculously maintained. And that's what I believe I have to share from you at this moment. So if you need that help within your mind, if you need it just to keep praying for someone, then keep praying, knowing that your hope is in the Lord and that he will bring together within your life the purposes and the plans that he has for you, and his word is faithful. When you feel prayed up, you don't know what else to pray. I shared this with a friend the other week, and she said, okay, I just can't pray anymore. I am prayed out. I said, well, praise God for that. And she looked at me and her eyes widened, and I said, start praying the word. I said, when your own words fail you, that'll achieve not half as much, not even a millionth enough. If you would turn your prayers to scripture, and you can look in the concordances, whatever the background is, what we're struggling with, God's word will come to that need every time. Amen. Okay. Sorry, Sarah's just asked me to pray, so I'll just pray. Lord Jesus, we just recognise who you are this morning. You are the sovereign King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we don't understand the depths sometimes that we experience in our lives, Lord. Some of these lovely ladies may be struggling in all sorts of different difficulties and situations. And Lord Jesus, we know that you are the answer. You are our future. You're already there. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that we will put our hope and our trust in you. And as we learn again, Lord, to turn to your word brings life, your word brings truth, and it brings the answers. And so, Lord, I pray that as we trust and rest in you, that we can experience such newness of life each new morning through your precious Holy Spirit. And so I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege and honour of sharing you as Lord and Saviour. And I pray for every woman here this morning, Lord, that they'll go away today refreshed in you as we listen to your word from Kay later, Lord, that you will do amazing things through our lives. And first and foremost, Lord, that we honour you. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Chris has got a few booklets here. I've read this story.